This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, January 16, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. The Greater Grand Rapids NAACP chapter is hosting a community education event on safe encounters with law enforcement ahead of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
We are living in a time where it is critically important for citizens to understand what their legal rights are, but more importantly, what their constitutional rights are.
Clee Jackson is president of the NAACP Greater Grand Rapids, which is partnering with other community groups to share advice for safe encounters with law enforcement.
Dr. King was involved in many protests and many encounters with law enforcement. Those freedom riders were taught and skilled on how to have safe encounters.
Jackson said it's about knowing your rights if you are stopped, detained, or arrested. Most important, he says, is keeping safe.
I've said time and time again for many, many, many years, never fight on the street because you will never win the fight on the street. Do everything that you can to de-escalate, to remain calm, to know your rights, and then if your rights are violated, come to an agency like the NAACP or others.
More information on citizen rights and advice on safe encounters is on the NAACP GR website. I'm Dee Morrison.
A group of Ottawa County property owners are suing Park Township in federal court over its short-term rentals prohibition. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The lawsuit, filed Tuesday in U.S. District Court, alleges Park Township violated property owners' constitutional rights by banning short-term rentals after allowing them for decades. The lawsuit was filed by Park Township Neighbors, a nonprofit made up of property owners. It claims township officials repeatedly interpreted a zoning ordinance that was in effect before March 2024 to allow STRs in residential areas. A March 2024 amendment to that ordinance bans STRs in residential areas outright. The lawsuit alleges that to prevent previously existing STRs from being grandfathered in and continuing to operate, the township created a, quote, after-the-fact interpretation of the previous zoning ordinance. The township says for an existing STR to be grandfathered in, it would require operation prior to February 7th, 1974, and continued uninterrupted thereafter. In a release, Park Township Neighbors wrote, quote, "The township's attempt to make their new 2024 zoning ordinance retroactive is the issue. When a Michigan zoning ordinance is changed, pre-existing uses are supposed to be allowed to continue," end quote. Grand Rapids Mayor David LeGrand and his wife are listed among the dozens of plaintiffs. I'm David Limbaugh.
The new owners of the Century Club in Muskegon say they are planning a doctor's office on the main floor, and WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they promise to preserve the ballroom and many of the building's other historic features.
We do indeed expect to preserve the aesthetic of the building out and in.
Developer Aaron King says his wife's clinic will go on the main floor of the Century Club building.
My wife's practice, Muskegon Pediatrics, has been in operation for 5 years at 888 Terrace, and we are seeking to move her practice to the Century Club on the main floor.
But he says the upstairs ballroom and other historic features will remain.
Especially the ballroom. It is indeed a beautiful set of architecture. I'm excited to be able to be a part of that history.
The developer also says he will hire Muskegon contractors to renovate the building, and Commissioner Willie German likes that plan.
That's one of the things that I really like to see more of, specifically, you know, black contractors.
I couldn't agree more. The work that's done in our community should look like the people that live here.
Charles Hackley and other lumber barons built the Century Club on West Western Avenue in 1891. Katrina Cochin and her fellow commissioners are giving the developer a 4-year property tax freeze.
Thank you very much for making sure the building stays historically important and considering diversity. It is so important. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'm Phil Dawson.
The Detroit Auto Show opens to the public this weekend, and State Attorney General Dana Nessel has a warning to keep consumers safe. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
The state attorney general is reminding consumers to be aware of potential price gouging that might be tied to the Detroit Auto Show. Hundreds of thousands are expected to attend. Michigan law prohibits retailers from charging prices that are grossly in excess of what others are charging for the same thing. In a news release, Attorney General Dana Nessel says, quote, "While some higher prices during the Detroit Auto Show are to be expected, the event should not come with unfair costs to consumers." She adds, "I encourage all attendees to do their homework and compare prices before heading down to the event or booking a hotel, and to report suspicions of price gouging to my office," end quote. The Detroit Auto Show takes place until January 25th at Huntington Place in Detroit. Consumers who believe they've been charged a grossly excessive price are urged to file a complaint directly with the Consumer Protection Team, and you can find them at mi.gov/consumerprotection. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A West Michigan knee surgeon has reached a milestone, performing 2,000 knee replacements using first-of-its-kind medical equipment in Michigan, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Orthopedic surgeon Dr. Derek Johnson was the first surgeon in West Michigan certified to use the Mako Smart Robotic System for partial and total knee replacements in 2018.
Now we're doing approximately probably 250, at least in my practice of knees, that way on a day-to-day basis.
The Mako technology offers precision surgery, minimizing soft tissue damage, leading to faster recovery times and better long-term outcomes for patients.
A lot easier transition and getting the range of motion back quicker, getting patients back to activities or job or whatever things they need to do after the surgery itself.
Holland Hospital Vice President of Clinical Operations Joe Bonello stresses another benefit.
The reason that's important for us is we are always looking for ways that we can keep care local in our community and provide people of the Lakeshore region with really up-to-date technology and clinical care without them having to travel to get that care.
Holland Hospital has been recognized by HealthGrades as being in the top 10% nationally for orthopedic surgery and joint replacement excellence, 3 years in a row. I'm Dee Morrison.
In the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Kent County's K-Connect hosted its annual PACE Forum on Friday, focusing on enhancing support systems for area children and families. WGVU's David Limbaugh was there.
K-Connect is a collection of area organizations dedicated to creating systemic change. It held its PACE Forum, which stands for Policy, Advocacy, and Community Engagement. This year's theme is Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community?
We are seeking to unify our community with conversation and dialogue around some of the bright spots here in Kent County and ways that we might be able to build in the gaps as we experience sweeping federal, state, and local level changes.
That's VP of Policy, Advocacy, and Community Engagement at K-Connect, Dr. Shyla Young. She says the forum is grounded in the organization's vision that every child and family deserves the opportunity to thrive, no matter their starting point. It's a vision that mirrors Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Junior's dream, says forum speaker and West Michigan policy strategist for the ACLU, Liz Balk.
We're not there yet, but I think these types of events really help take us those steps that we have to take. It's hard work, but we have to do the work, and really, we can't do it alone. We have to do it together, intentionally, communally.
Both women say they hope the 80-plus attendees appreciate the importance of supporting kids from crib to career, no matter who they are or where they come from. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Governor Gretchen Whitmer criticized tariffs and encouraged cooperation with trade partners during a Detroit Auto Show speech on Thursday. Colin Jackson has more.
The address argued federal tariffs and spending cuts have put Michigan manufacturing at a disadvantage as it competes with China's car industry. Whitmer says to keep up, the U.S. needs to double down on working with its neighbors as a trade agreement with Canada and Mexico goes up for renegotiation this summer.
The American auto industry of 2025, let alone 2050, can't exist on an island. To compete against our adversaries, we have to collaborate with our friends.
President Donald Trump, who negotiated the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement during his first term in office, called it irrelevant while in Dearborn earlier this week. I'm Colin Jackson at the Detroit Auto Show.
A Michigan Court of Claims judge will hear arguments on Friday on disputed spending in the state budget that legislative Republicans want stopped. We have more from Rick Pluta.
One of the key questions will be which side Judge Michael Gadola expects will prevail in the end. Michigan House Republicans want the judge to order a 14-day halt to spending $645 million that was already approved in the state budget for a variety of programs. That money was pulled from the budget via a unilateral action by the GOP-controlled House Appropriations Committee. Democratic State Attorney General Dana Nessel held in a formal binding legal opinion that process violated the Michigan Constitution because it did not include the Senate or Governor Gretchen Whitmer. That reopened the door for the funding to these programs to continue. The GOP says Nessel's opinion is wrong and politically motivated. I'm Rick Pluta.
Michigan U.S. Senator Alyssa Slotkin is speaking out after being told she was being investigated by the Department of Justice. Slotkin and four other Democrats made a video back in November telling members of the military to reject illegal orders. She says the investigation is an intimidation tactic and will fight back.
I've got a lot of peers, elected Democrats, who are really just sort of like, hey, let's just wait this whole Trump administration out. Let's just be quiet, keep our heads down, let the country boomerang on Donald Trump. And I just can't tell you how much I disagree with that approach.
Slotkin spoke to NPR's All Things Considered on Thursday afternoon. The Democratic senator said it's not clear if federal investigations are looking to charge her with a crime. In November, President Trump said the video was, quote, seditious behavior punishable by death, unquote. He later said in an interview with a conservative news show that he was, quote, not threatening death to politicians. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. 28 days later, The Bone Temple is in theaters starring Ralph Fiennes, continuing the Danny Boyle-created franchise with humanity still up against the infected. Dead Man's Wire is a Gus Van Sant movie starring Al Pacino, based on a true story. No Other Choice is another South Korean film from the director of Old Boy, and The Lord of the Rings trilogy is back on the big screen. WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C talk about those movies and other films also opening.
Trying to predict the future is a discouraging and hazardous occupation. In fact, it may not even exist at all.
28 years later, The Bone Temple here from 1 year after 28 years later. And it's interesting, it took just 1 year to get another in the franchise, which started in 2002 with the original 28 Days Later from Danny Boyle. And then 2007, 28 weeks later. And I'm hearing really good things about this, Zach.
Yeah, and believe it or not, we're only just barely past 28 weeks since 28 years later opened in theaters. But yes, 28 years later, The Bone Temple is, it's kind of interesting. They didn't shoot them together. They're directed, you know, differently, but they are sort of in tandem. So this is actually sort of part two to 28 years later. It picks up with Spike, who was sort of the main character from 28 years. It focuses a little bit more on the Bone Temple, Ralph Fiennes' character, who's sort of a doctor, and, you know, sort of made this area of, with, well, the bones, literally called the Bone Temple. But yeah, so it sort of picks up on, again, their two stories, and they met before in the last one, and will they meet again? But this one focuses, you know, like the 28 years later, and even, you know, 28 weeks and 28 days, like there is a little bit of it where it's like you get to the sort of the rage zombies, and, you know, you focus more on not those, but sort of, you know, the terror of humanity. And I felt like 28 years later focused a lot on sort of the rage, you know, zombie infected. Whereas this one feels like it focuses way more on sort of like the terror of humanity. It sort of follows this Jimmy Crystal, who is sort of leading seven people in this sort of cult across, you know, led by Saint Nick, as they call him. You know, they do what Saint Nick wants them to do, is they sort of make their way through the remaining people that are out there trying to avoid the infected.
Yeah, and from what I've understand from the little reviews that I've seen or read, that there's a ray of light here, that there might be some sort of scientific breakthrough to try and reverse what has happened, but there's still a lot of, and not so much in terms of the rage zombie terror as much as there's an emphasis, there's a little bit of torture involved in this movie, from what I understand.
Yeah, this one turns the dial up to 11 for sure. But I mean, audiences love it. It's literally 94% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. So looking forward to it.
Also a new film from Gus Van Sant, which crept up on me. I didn't know that he had a new film coming out. It's a crime thriller called Dead Man's Wire with Cary Elwes, Bill Skarsgård, but also Al Pacino back on the big screen.
Yeah, it's based on the true story of Tony Crisis, who February 8th, 1977, he felt like he was wrongfully abused in the system of, you know, there's a financial company that sort of, you know, he felt like took advantage of him. And so he storms into their office building expecting to see the CEO, but ends up seeing his son. And when he gets him in a room alone, you know, hooks a what's called a dead man's wire around his neck, which is a wire that strings from his neck to sort of a sawed off shotgun, which is also then put around Tony's neck. And so it's essentially saying, you know, like, if you try to escape, if someone tries to pull me off of you, like, this gun's going to go off. And so it pretty much follows the, you know, sort of the unraveling of the true event that happened, and sort of like how it took the nation by storm, because there was public television, you know, pieces to this. He was asking, you know, for certain things along the way. And it's a pretty incredible story. So looking forward to it.
Also, Park Chan-wook, one of the greatest directors on the planet from South Korea, is back on the big screen with a film called No Other Choice. It's actually based on a Donald Westlake novel, The Axe, that Donald Westlake was he's no longer with us. He was one of the finest crime writers here in the U.S. during the pulp era all the way through the 90s. And this is directed by the guy that did Old Boy, Lady Vengeance, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. That was the Vengeance trilogy. And then also The Handmaiden. And you've seen this film.
I have. And, it's got Park written all over it. You know, I was kind of, before I had seen it, I was even saying, talking to, you know, some people about, you know, Old Boy and how just like, that one that's not a twist in a movie that you, just sort of like sit and leave the theater and just kind of like, wow, that was a crazy, you know, twist. That's a twist in a movie that sort of like sits with you for a week. This feels, back to just his form and his craft. It's fantastic. But yeah, it follows essentially a guy who is laid off from a company that he served 25 years at. The phrase "no other choice" is sort of echoed throughout the entire film. He decides that in order to get his next job, he is going to find out who sort of maybe the other top employees are that, you know, would be candidates for the same job and take them out. He feels like he really has no other choice to do such things. So, it's a wild ride, and it's a great film, and it's also 98% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, audience 95%.
Yeah, and the South Koreans have had what was called really a renaissance from the 90s, the late 90s, through the 2000s into the 2010s, and of course, Parasite, almost the culmination of that from a different director, winning the Oscar as Best Picture, not Best Foreign Film. And so anytime one of these great South Korean directors have a movie on the big screen, it's sort of essential viewing if you're a movie fanatic.
It really is. And one of my favorite things that was said after our screening that we had was one of my coworkers said, you know, I think I need to watch more Korean films. And I was like, we should all watch more Korean films. So it's kind of fun.
And then also, All You Need Is Kill, which is an animated film. And this is based on the novel called All You Need Is Kill. That was by Hiroshi Sukazuraka from 2004. And then in 2014, it was made into a Japanese manga and then a graphic by Ryosuke Takahashi. And then in the same year, 2014, Nick Mamatas, who's a great American writer that I love, he did an American version that year, which was also the same year that it was adapted as a movie by Doug Liman with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
And you've seen this as well,
yeah,
right?
So when I heard about this one, I knew I had to see it. So
And I can't remember what the American Tom Cruise film was called. Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow, yeah.
It was also marketed as like Live, Die, Repeat. But yeah, it follows Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt as they sort of like navigate an alien invasion. But Tom Cruise gains the ability that every single time he dies, the whole day resets for him. And so like finding out, because I didn't know about sort of the original source material, finding out that essentially all you need to kill is the original source material, and then, you know, now it's essentially just being adapted to its own anime movie, I was like, okay, you know, sign me up, because I think Edge of Tomorrow was like one of those underrated, underappreciated movies. So it's kind of fun to just like watch, you know, go through this one and know sort of like, one, it's the source material, but two, like, this, you know, I'm remembering parts from Edge of Tomorrow that are obviously adapted from this, you know, film in this series. So yeah, it's a great film. Sort of, you know, it's also, again, it's a week of 94% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, every single movie down the line. So we've got a great lineup.
Is that also true for Night Patrol, which is a new horror film?
I haven't looked into Night Patrol yet, but that one is super, it's, you know, a little dark horror film, you know, Justin Long, an LAPD officer. An LAPD officer who sort of becomes part of the night crew, who's actually vampires. And so it's them against sort of the housing project. But, you know, if that doesn't interest you, we've also got all three Lord of the Rings extended editions back in theaters for at least the week. You can watch all three if you really want to in one sitting. But, 25th anniversary of Fellowship of the Ring.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, January 16, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.